Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to the NXT post show on Fightful. How's everybody doing? I'm your host, Alex Pulowski. NXT's weird now, guys. NXT's weird now. The formerly unbeatable monster heel champ of NXT is now 1-2 on the main roster. So he's got a similar start as, like, you know, the Cleveland Browns, or like not this one, but like the ones a few years ago. He's middling, I guess, is as good as you could say, maybe. And that cloud kind of hangs over everything, as far as I can tell. And we'll talk a lot about this and everything going on from here. But please get in your super chats. Donate a super chat. It is how we connect through the evening. I'm assuming a lot of people are going to want to talk about the whole Adam Cole thing. I'll touch on it. Definitely. But yeah, please send me super chats. Let me know what I should be talking about. And I will do such a thing. Please also like and subscribe. Tap the bell for notifications so you know when we go live. I want to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by the folks at allform.com. Go to allform.com/fightful and get a deal on some new furniture. It looks really good, and my wife and I are in the market for a new couch. The sectional is a nice sectional, but it came apart, as sectionals, I guess, are want to do. And now we can't get it to stick together. So it just comes apart all the time. And there's like a chasm that creates between the two sections of the sectional. And my daughter likes to fall in there on purpose. So we're in the market for some new furniture. I think I might hit up allform.com/fightful. Get myself some new furniture. But yeah, let's talk about NXT. Let's hit some super chats as we start and see what we want to talk about here. Rematch 50-50 booking. Jostin Lopez says, "Have I said on this show how much I love Joe? If he were booked like this on the main, I could see him being the person who beats Roman. Hashtag pipe dream. That, sir, is a pipe dream. Super Mario doesn't have pipe dreams like that." But I agree. The Samoa Joe of old, like, they showed a, in case you forgot who Samoa Joe was a few years ago in NXT, this is the guy we had. And I had forgotten about this amazing moment in his feud with Shinsuke Nakamura, where he did the Uranage to him on the steps. and then just stood over him, just sweat pouring down his brow, and just screamed at him over and over again, "I did this to you! I did this to you!" As though Shinsuke Nakamura had forgotten what happened to him two seconds prior. I loved NXT Samoa Joe. The Nerd Guru says that NXT already doesn't feel the same despite putting out good stuff, but if they lose Adam Cole, .. I don't know if Johnny and Ciampa can carry it alone. It's a shame. Yeah, let's talk about the Adam Cole stuff. Adam Cole should lose to Kyle O'Reilly in a loser leaves NXT match at SummerSlam Takeover 36, I guess is what they're calling it. And he should leave NXT, and he should sign with AEW, and he should never look back. He did everything you can possibly do in NXT. Everything. And he was never going to be used properly on the main roster. The only thing left for him to do under the WWE umbrella is get called up or dragged down, as we say on the show. And then what? Job to Jackson Ryker on main event? Like, he's tiny. In Vince's eyes, he's a very small guy. And it's not like he's ripped or anything. Like, he's perfectly fine. But according to Vince, like, if you're going to be that small, you better have abs for days. And even then, probably not. Like, what's his ceiling on the main roster? Absolute ceiling. Maybe, like, Finn Balor-ish, who, like, won the Undisputed title, then lost, then had to give it up because he was hurt, and has never, ever, ever been up at that point. And we just saw how they treated Finn Balor on Friday, is an afterthought at his own contract signing. So, yeah, I think Adam Cole should leave and go to AEW. I'd be shocked if they didn't make a stipulation. If that's the case, I suppose. Because I guess he's a good guy and likes it in NXT, but there's nothing for him to do there. He should leave. It's one of those things, like, he's done everything he needs to do. He was a top guy there forever. Won the mid-card title. Was actually, I think, defended the tag belts once when one of those two guys was injured. Like, he's done everything there is to do. He had one of the best, like, first moments in NXT, too, when he and O'Reilly and Fish beat the hell out of Drew McIntyre at a takeover. That was great. Like, he's done it. He's done everything he can. And there's so much for him to do in NXT. And there's, in AEW. And, you know, his girlfriend is there. Britt Baker, his partner, is there. All of his friends from Japan are there. There's so many more things he could do in AEW than he can do now here, because he's done everything. Also, Tyrone Kidd makes a good point. On the main roster, he beat Daniel Bryan at the time, of course. He beat Seth. He's already peaked. And it's true. He was murdered by the Elite in canon. In that world, in that timeline, he's dead. But the Young Bucks, their bio, they change it to a little ghost emoji. So maybe he's coming back from the dead. You never know. Nerguru says that they murdered him. But it's true. It's true. We'll see whatever happens after that. Tyrone Kidd says, Adam Cole who? Thoughts on 2.0 in the AEW zone. Yeah, the former Everrise cut a promo tonight that looked really great. And they and Daniel Garcia are going to face Kingston and Mox and Darby Allin on Dynamite tomorrow night. And that should be a hell of a good time. Yeah, Ricardo, I'm going to get to that when we get to that segment, I think. yeah, Kevin Steets mentions the main event. He says, I can't believe they had a Judy Bagwell on a pole match without Judy Bagwell or a pole. That's true. Okay. And we'll talk about this too, WWE Mark. The Io Zoe segment was cringe and a bit offensive, in my opinion. Ew. Yeah. Hey, Triple H, if you're watching, I think you are. Little request from me to you. Could we not do any more culturally marginally offensive comedy sketches starring Zoe and Io? Instead, just have them tag team and wrestle people and beat them up and be awesome. And then we'll figure out the other stuff later. Like, Zoe is far too new in NXT to be doing this kind of cringy stuff because it's going to hurt her to a point where she might not recover from. So this is it. This is all you get. This is the one. No more flinging squid legs across the restaurant. We're not doing that anymore. We'll talk more about that when we get to that segment, but yikes. All right, let's get started with this. So, starting off with the money program, what should be the money program, but I don't know who these people are who are coming to see the CWC show. They don't feel like Full Sail to me. They don't feel like the same people. They were sitting on their hands for most of the night. Like, just not into a lot of stuff that they really should be into. And it just feels like they're not even giving it a shot because it's all new stuff. They're into, like, new... They're into the old people that they know and love. But they're... NXT... The thing about NXT is they're forced to build new stars. Because people just leave. They get called up or dragged down. And they got to do something. But the crowd's not letting them. Because out come Hit Row, the absolute stars of this show. And the crowd's like, meh, Hit Row. A few of them are doing that, and that's it. And then you got to have Beth Phoenix go, I'm telling you, the crowd is on fire for Hit Row. And I'm like, I'm not hearing it. Is it only because there's 15 people in the audience and that's all the only people I can see are the people who were in the audience? They probably were tired because they were taping stuff all freaking day. We'll see what they are next week when it's live. But I love Top Dollar. This is a tag match. Hit Row versus Legado del Fantasma with Santos and Swerve and B-Fab at ringside. But Top Dollar is so great at the little stuff that a big man can do. Did you just hit me? Why would you do that? Now I gotta hurt you. Like, there's this really cool stuff he does. Like, people try and hit him, and he's just like, what? Why would you do that? I really think he's got something really, really special. That whole extended segment where he did the test of strength and then did that to Joaquin Wilde and lifted him up and put him on the turnbuckle and tossed him. Jamacinto Gomez says that he misses the first sale crowd, and so do I. Those people were on fire all the time. They taped stuff at Full Sail, hours and hours and hours of stuff, and nobody got tired at Full Sail. Maybe they were like handing out cocaine. I don't know. I'm not reporting that. But Adonis is really, really cool. Is really great as the babyface in peril. Mendoza and Wild do. Oh, As Wade Barrett calls him Joaquin, whack. He calls him Joaquin Wild. They're really good at playing the, you know, they're doing hot tags, quick tags back in and out. I like it. But at some point, Dalla goes to run the ropes because he's had a couple of hot tags. And the second hot tag goes running up. Hector Bar hits him in the back with a chair for a DQ. Whew. I don't like DQs, like, as a rule, if they're done too much. If they're done too much, then they lose all meaning. This is one of those where if you don't do DQs like as a rule, and then you do one, this is one I would say is okay. And here's why. It feels like the plan from Santos Escobar was, we're going to find a way to isolate Ashanti the Adonis in the ring. You guys work him over, get him really hurt. So then when he tags in Top Dollar, I'll get Top Dollar. I'm going to hit him with a chair. I'm going to hit him with a chair again. I'm going to throw him into the steps. And then with those two guys out of the picture, the three of us can gang up on Swerve. It felt like a plan. Like the plan was never to win the match. The plan was to isolate Swerve and torture him. And that's what they did. He hits Top Dollar with a chair, throws him into the steps, and they get Swerve alone in the ring. They hold him down, do a couple of moves to him, and then he reaches into his mouth and yanks out his grill, which is just, I'm pretty sure that's a faux pas. Like, do not do that. Do never touch another man's grill. And then they're going to torture him for a while. But then Top Dollar gets up, and he is pissed. Like, he's so good. All these big man facial expressions. Like, do not piss off Top Dollar, or he will serve you some looks. Because he gets up in there, and he's just backing him down. And B-Fab gets in and hits Joaquin Wilde in the back with the gentlest little chair shot I've ever seen. I don't know if she's done a lot of hardcore matches in her life, Brianna Brandy, B-Fab. But somebody in the back needs to teach her how to lay in the chair shot just a wee bit stiffer. Because it was like, this is Joaquin Wilde's back, and this is B-Fab walking up with the chair, and she does this. No, we're not gonna do that one. Then because of that, we get Donis and Swerve jumping in there, hitting some moves on some people. They counteracted the beatdown with one of their own, but the big thing was that, Escobar left with Swerve's grill, and Swerve was not happy. So this is the triple threat. This is a six-man tag. I'm assuming we're going to do a six-man tag for the SummerSlam takeover 36, without the title on the line. Or maybe they'll do the singles match. They might do the singles match. But I think the money is in the six-man tag, because I think that Dala and Adonis are really vital performers. They add so much to Swerve. I think there's a lot of fun to be had there. I mean, you could do, if you wanted to, which I think might be my preference, Swerve versus Escobar with the title on the line, no DQ match. And then you can have the guys at ringside, and they can be involved. And it can be kind of like a six-man tornado tag match with weapons and stuff, where only one of the other of each team is legal and can get a pinfall of the other. I think that's my preference. Yeah. Ricardo El Idolo del Distraction sends a super chat that I will not read on the air because it is erroneous and false. yes. So I'm fine with this particular DQ, absent of the context of all the time using DQs over and over and over again all the time. Yes, that's what I will say. So William Regal and a security team approach Samoa Joe. It's like, you're an active competitor now, Joseph. So now these men, your former co-workers, are now going to be staying with you to make sure that you don't attack Karrion Kross, and that the two of you remain separated before TakeOver 36. And Samoa Joe looks around like, these dudes, this is who you brought? All right, fine. We'll see how that works out. I just love the contempt in a sneer, from from uh, from Samoa Joe is it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. See, missing one. No, missing that super chat that I forgot. Yes, Ricardo Alidolo. We'll talk about this. Cross, I mean, it turns out you didn't need the security because Cross is just going to run like a chicken shit from Joe, which doesn't help the situation. You're right, Ricardo. Yeah. Why do you need security if the big badass champion is going to run away? I got stood on a table and I yelled something and bye. Like, no, that's not how we're going to do. I'm wondering if that was the segment they had to reshoot because everyone was chanting Hardy, Hardy, Hardy at him. So Pete Dunne, Oney Lorcan. Well, Ridge Holland came back last week. They showed how that happened and they showed the beatdown afterwards. And Dexter Lumis is drawing backstage. He's a very talented artist. So back before Ridge Holland's leg exploded in 17 places, he was coming out and I called him a sentient side of beef, but he came out wearing a trench coat with a little newsboy cap and carrying what appeared to be at first glance and what continues to be at every other glance, a big black rubber dildo. Like, he's carrying it around, and he points it like this at the camera, like pointed it toward, like, you can't see the handle, you don't see the shape, you just see it's big and black and phallic, and he's pointing it at the cameras, and I thought to myself, hey, I wonder if he's going to bring back the big black rubber dildo. And it turns out he did. So that's good. That's consistent. Although his trench coat now has like little metal dealies all over it, like little steel plates. I don't know. I think that just weighs down the trench coat a little much. And a trench coat is meant to be, it's meant more like a raincoat, a top coat over the suit. He's not wearing a suit, and I think all those steel plates are going to rust in the rain. It's kind of, I'm just saying, it's kind of a mess, Ridge. He's not a mess in the ring, though. He destroys Ikemen Jiro. Ikemen? I'm sorry, Jiro. The chap in the blazer. He destroys him. And he took off Jiro's jacket. You'd think a guy who likes a good trench coat would respect a man for his choice of blazer to wear during the ring, but not old Ridge. No. It's not to, yeah. He does not respect the blazer. He has a huge, like a suplex that he turns up into a side slam. It's a cool move. I respect the finisher. But he stands tall and then he tosses a Jiro to the floor. And Dunn and Lorcan, Pete Dunn gets to pick up the mic. So he's the mic man for this trio. Ridge Holland is not a mic man. And Pete Dunne, whose whole thing forever was, I'm going to be silent and shrug. And then for much of his career, the only thing he ever said was like, I'm Pete Dunne. I don't care. I don't care. I'm Pete Dunne. I don't care. I'll break your fingers. I don't care. And now he's got to like actually deliver promos. We're the three most dangerous men in WWE. Prove me wrong. They call out Ciampa and Thatcher. There's only two of Ciampa and Thatcher, which makes me think Ciampa and Thatcher are going to find somebody else. And I don't know. The only one because they haven't made a decision yet. It looks like on calling up or dragging down Bronson Reed. It feels like Bronson Reed is the perfect guy for Tommy and Timmy to go and recruit. To have a six-man tag with the blokes, with the lads. I think that's probably where we're going to go. We're definitely doing a six-man tag. But I don't know. I don't know who else there is for them to recruit. But it's. I think that's a good. I think it's a good choice. Javinicinto Gomez says again that weird that Legado hasn't added a big body to the faction. Well, I think they're more along the lines of purity. You know what I mean? They wouldn't just go get any big dude. They'd have to find the right big dude. And I think their whole part of it is like the Legado, the legacy they talk about is the legacy of the Luchador, that they are both honoring and also breaking away from intentionally. So I would think that a lot of the stuff they would be going for is stuff that they'd have to find smaller guys. But I do think there's room for more of them, as if not a larger one. The new guru says that he thinks that if I'm reading the super chat correct, that Hit Row and Legado del Fantasma would be dead, meaning I believe for the crowd in the CWC. Even if LDF added Zelina Vega, that would be fire and flames on all cylinders. Yeah, well, I mean, what's she doing other than losing all of her matches on SmackDown? So, sure, why not? That might help, but I feel like Santos is a good enough promo. You don't need that for him. The Nerd Guru solving all of our problems. Tommy and Timmy should recruit Kevin Owens. Seriously, he's not doing anything on SmackDown right now. I would honestly love it. Kevin Owens loves NXT. He always talks about coming back for one match at a time. Yes. Tommy and Timmy and Kevin Owens versus the lads with a Z. That's what I'm calling them. I'm calling Ridge and Pete and Oni. I'm calling them the lads with a Z. That's how I will refer to them all the time. I'm in. I see what you're saying. That they would be dead even in their popularity. Yeah. Agreed. Nerd Guru, not dead, but dead even. I think what you're saying. Okay. So Mackenzie Mitchell talks with Frankie Monet backstage. And Robert Stone is there too, unfortunately. This is Kamea. And, you know, Monet's like, blah, blah, blah. You don't even talk. You, Robert, Bob, stop talking. I hate the word loss. I can't even say it. Yes, with a Z for all of you who are not from America. Lads with a Z. Since one of the three guys is from America, Oni's from America, I can say Z because I was talking to Oni. But Monet doesn't like losing, and which means she doesn't like Robert Stone. And she says, you guys are used to losing, so you probably it's fine with you, but not okay with me. Everything's got to change. It's got to be, this whole thing's got to be remolded in my image. Take it or leave it. And Stone says, we will take it. We are going to be taking this. We'll take it. Just keeps talking about it. Just kick him to the curb. Why the hell is he there? What are we doing with this? So there's a preview for Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish. And you know what I'm going to say. I knew Vic Joseph was going to do it, and he did it. He'll do a little promo for Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong before the break. What does Vic Joseph say? Strong Fish next. I just think Strong Fish is definitely Strong Fish is the name of the sushi restaurant that Zoe and EO went to eat at. I think that's incontrovertible. So when he says strong fish next, what he actually meant was strong fish later in the evening. Because that's the name of the restaurant they went to. We got to find some new fun things for him to, who can he talk about? Who can he talk about? I don't know. Who else can have good matches? But anyway, yes, people are saying in the chat that Mandy Rose was not around tonight. But like, it's a taped episode. I don't really know if we can go into that as like, we're not really sure. I still have no idea what they're planning on Mandy Rose. I don't think they know what they're playing with Mandy Rose, but we'll see. Hung, yeah, we'll see. Okay. Bobby and Strong, the crowd's more over for them because they've been around for a while. It's these guys know each other well. It's a decent match. I think we all kind of knew Strong was going to win. Gets a little distraction help from the boys at ringside, from Bivens and Rust and the like. But yeah, I think Strong is so much fun to watch. Like, I love his backbreakers. I love the spot where he ping-pongs back and forth along the ropes and punches his opponent as he walks by. That's great. Yeah, I like it a lot. And Strong wins. Later in the night, we see Kushida talking to Strong, like, I respect your win over Bobby Fish, and I think they're absolutely building to Kushida versus Strong at TakeOver 36 for the Cruiserweight title, which I'm totally down with. But this was a good match. I was afraid they were going to have Fish win somehow and prolong this. And I'm like, no, you don't need to do that. Just have Fish lose. Have Strong win. Pardon me. Oh, that came out of nowhere. One of them surprisers. My apologies. Ah. Okay. Jesse Hughes jumping knee and then a backbreaker to win. And that's it. That's good. I think there's a lot of cool stuff you can do with Strong and the Diamond Mine leading the Cruiserweight division. Everybody's under the limit, guys. Tommaso Ciampa's under the limit. Like, there's really good stuff you could do with Tommaso Ciampa versus Roddy Strong for the friggin' Cruiserweight title. Thank you all for blessing me. I really do appreciate it. So we get a scene backstage with LA Knight and Cameron Grimes. And what did I say last week? LA Knight, Cameron Grimes, tag match versus GYV after the golf kerfuffle. And Grimes wants to change into his gear, but he won't let him. I did it. Won't do it. You're not allowed to. You have to wrestle in this. If it's even a matter of word, you say you're going to be there for night, but you know, you're gonna do it. Are you going to have my back? Says Cameron Grimes. Actually, says, hey, are you going to have my back? Knight says, listen. I'm not going to make this $1 million title look bad. I guarantee you I'll have your back. I wonder if he's a man of his word, but also shine my boots before we leave. So LA Knight and Grimes versus GYV. LA Knight takes a powder, decides to leave, won't tag in Cameron Grimes. Cameron Grimes, who is wrestling in his butler costume. Again, they didn't actually buy the man an actual suit. They're making him wear a flimsy-ass butler costume that you would get from Spirit Halloween. It's not like an actual suit coat. It's like it's made out of really cheap, flappy material, and the pants are too big, and the shirt doesn't stay tucked in. It's a terrible thing. I think it's being mined for comedy. But I think it is funny. So eventually he gets all like disheveled because he's fighting them 2-on-1. And GYV eventually says no to that. Because Grimes, I think, is wearing is wrestling in his socks. So no, it's not going to happen. He's going to do he unbuttons his shirt and does a to the moon, but he's going to do the cave in. But then he gets distracted, and then they are able to hit the Ticket to Mayhem on old Grimesy, and that's it. I love the Grizzled Young Vets. I think they're great. I hope they don't renew their contract. I don't know what their ceiling is, man. Like, I feel like if they were gonna be champs in NXT, they would have. They have the opportunity to do it by now. But let's get it done. Let's make them the British version of the Revival, because that's what they are to me. And that's why I want to see them in AEW. Drake and Gibson talk trash on the ramp, but Ted DiBiase walks down the ramp, and he cradles Grimes' face in his hand, and he says, "Listen, I know you're a man of your word, kid. But you know he's never going to have your back. You know he's not a man of his. So you got to find a way to get out of the situation." So I think the way you get out of the situation is to have another match. Probably. Because it's WWE, right? Rematches. So Grimes versus Knight. Maybe the title's on the line again. Or maybe just not being your butler anymore. I don't know. But eventually, we're going to get rid of this and move on, right? So, we come now to my highlight of the night by far. Dakota Kai. They did a video package for Dakota Kai that was one of the absolute best things I've ever seen NXT do. They did so much to close every loophole and do all the stuff that they wrote down the whole history of Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. They did Raquel's history before she aligned herself with Dakota, like her losing in the Mae Young Classic and getting all angry with herself, and her helping Dakota in that match a year and a half ago, and then all the times that she helped Dakota in other things, and then finally they showed, like, there was a moment where it switched from being Shawn Michaels, Dakota Kai, with Diesel, Raquel Gonzalez, to, holy shit, Raquel Gonzalez is the one who's actually to watch here. And they pinpointed it as the time when she hit that huge Chingona bomb on Io Shirai through a ladder at War Games and pinned her. And everyone was like, Oh, we've been looking at this whole thing the wrong way. And the way that Dakota Kai tells the story about it, it's like at that point, everyone started to think about that I was Raquel's sidekick. And then Dakota does this thing where she's recounting the story. Dakota Kai has like become a really, really good actress. Like, a promo is one thing. An actress communicating emotions, like, in a setting where you're not, like, on the mic delivering a promo to the crowd, but, like, backstage, pre-recorded interviews where you got to be an actress, she's doing some stuff. Because she does. They told me that I was her sidekick. And then she looks down and off to the side, and her jaw clenches. She says, I'm nobody's sidekick. And it was really, really intense. You could tell that, like, that was the moment where she was like, and ever since then, I've been biding my time. And she didn't take the tag title seriously because she already had hers. What does she need a second one for? What does she need to help me for? You didn't even, she says about Raquel, you were so stupid. You didn't even see it coming. I laid it all out for you. You didn't pay attention to me because you didn't care about me. Oh, God. That was so good. She mentions that Io walked right past her to give the title contract to Raquel. And they show that, like, this is some long-term storytelling that Dakota has been working on. She knew this video package was going to be made in the future. She had all of her looks and all of her side eyes that she was going to do. She had them all down months ago because she knew this moment was going to come. Perfect. They would have that wonderful shot where Raquel comes back and Bianca comes back. So they have that moment in the line where all three NXT women hold up their belts and they show the moment where Dakota had to slink out of the ring. And Sean Garner, I know Dakota's not going to win. Sell me a ticket anyway. I know she's not going to win. Am I way more excited to watch the match that I know she's going to lose than I was before? Yeah. And that's what you do. Sometimes matches have foregone conclusions. Your job is to make me care about them anyway. And that's what Dakota Kai did tonight. Absolutely. I'm into it. And if their plan is to call up Raquel or drag her down, if that's their plan, as some are speculating, I can't think of a better person to take the title from her than Dakota Kai. And now you've given her all the motivation she needs. All the motivation that she needs to do it. Yeah. I appreciate this very much. This is my highlight of the night. So Mackenzie was backstage with Johnny Gargano, Candice LeRae. I'm sure, let me see any. Get in more super chats, guys, if you have them, so I can. I don't want to miss anything. And if I've missed one, as far as I can tell, I've got them all. Oh, yeah. The intangible one, Cliff Beard, says the NXT title match of TakeOver should be Jeff Hardy versus Keith Lee, since they are both co-linear champions, having beaten Karrion Kross in two of the last 3 weeks on Raw. True. Candice LeRae, Johnny Gargano backstage, talking about how the lover or loser match, Dexter Lumis, is very... very important, because they know what's best for Indy. The fate of the family, the fate of Indy's life rests in his hands, and I will do whatever it takes to protect her. And that's it. It's decent. Little promo on Joe Gacy. We got one for him, and we got one for Trey Baxter. And then before their match, Kyle O'Reilly attacked Cole. Cole is not currently medically cleared to wrestle, but there'll be a face-to-face next week between Cole and O'Reilly, moderated by William Regal. So, the final first-round match of the breakout tournament is Trey Baxter versus Joe Gacy. And I know there are people who really enjoy Joe Gacy's work. I'm not familiar with him, but just from his look, all that boy needs is a Scottish accent. And he's another member of Gallus. Ship him over. If he could do a Scottish accent, ship him over to NXT UK. He'll fit right in. That guy's the third coffee brother. Unless they already have three brothers. I don't know how many brothers. I remember two. I remember Joe and Mark. So Joe can't be Joe Coffee, Maybe he can be Gacy Coffee, or Cuppa Joe Coffee. Cuppa. But he looks like he'd fit right in NXT UK. He's got the shaved sides and the floppy hair and the big beard. He's got the body for it. It's perfect. He does some really good work in this thing. I was a fan of his work in this. He's a bruiser. He's not huge, but he's a bruiser. And I like those kind of guys. Baxter is very agile, and Gacy keeps catching him with stuff and taking control at certain moments. But I always felt like Trey Baxter was going to get the win. And guess what? There was a spot they did on the show tonight that they also did on Dark Elevation last night with different people. That was the spot where the smaller of the two guys gets the bigger guy gets on his back as doing a sleeper hold. And then the big guy runs headlong into the corner and does a somersault cannonball into the corner, smashing the small guy's back into the corner. And the one tonight looked great because Gacy kind of twisted his body, protected Trey Baxter perfectly. Last night, Darby Allin, I think it was versus Bear Bronson, on an episode of Dark Elevation, takes that same spot into the corner and looks like he compressed his entire head into his chest cavity. Like it was, oh my goodness gracious. Oh my goodness. If you want your question read on the air, as Kate, our moderator, is reminding you, send a super chat, and I will be glad to answer any questions you have on the air. Thank you very much. Baxter goes to the top. He is a 450 stomp. Didn't look perfect, but the idea of it is brutal enough that I will allow it. So Trey Baxter wins, and it'll be Trey Baxter versus Odyssey Jones and Duke Hudson versus Carmelo Hayes. Wow. Yeah. Those will be a fun couple of matches. But I still say my top two guys are Duke Hudson and Carmelo Hayes, and I would have liked to see those two guys in the final. Hey, here's a dumb friggin' segment they did. It was Zoe Stark and Io Shirai hanging out, like I said. Remember last week where, like, Zoe convinces Io, let's hang out. We'll figure out what each other's like and dislikes, and we become better friends, and then we'll be better tag team. So they're at a sushi restaurant. Io Shirai. Stark says, let's form a bond like you had with Kairi Sane. And like, I feel like that's kind of a stretch. You know what I mean? Like, the sharing a connection with a fellow countryman or woman in a new land where you know each other's language and can communicate in ways that, you know, when you find solace in each other, that shared experience coming from the same country to a new country, being able to like connect in that way, that's a very different kind of bond you can have than with somebody who lives in this country as you are an immigrant to it. It's a very different kind of thing. It was kind of weird. Io Shirai definitely thinks it's weird because she gives a side eye. But the waitress shows up and Shirai orders food in Japanese. And Stark's, I don't know what that is. I don't know what she's saying. So Stark apparently doesn't eat sushi, which is fine. I don't. But how many Japanese restaurants do you think there are in the Orlando area where the menu is in Japanese? Like, you don't have to order what EO does, Zoe, if you're uneasy about the dang California roll. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to get the easiest thing on the menu. You don't need to, like, oh, have whatever she's having. My brain isn't happening right now. But so all the food comes, and it's all just so much of it, including a platter of raw squid legs. And at one point we're like, oh, what is this? It looks like guacamole. Oh, you should try it, says EO. Of course, it's wasabi. And so there's a whole thing where, like, Zoe keeps spitting her food into napkins and then throwing them on the floor. And this isn't like McDonald's. Like, it's obvious that this is not the place where you spit food into a napkin and throw it on the floor. That's not a thing you do here. And at one point, rather than just say, I'm going to take the squid legs to go, which she does in like a second, they say, here's what'll be funny. Take the platter of squid legs and huck it over your shoulder. So the squid legs land against the wall or trophy case or whatever. And then, like, put the platter back down. And then, like, say, oh, wow, I'm stuffed. Like, this is bad comedy. And worst of all, like, it's like, as the intangible one says, is Zoe trying to be Japanese now? That's what this segment felt like, and boy howdy, was it craptacular. It was definitely craptacular. I don't know if she's trying to be Japanese. I think she's trying to find common ground with EO, which I get. But, like, could you recommend, I don't really eat sushi. Could you recommend something from the menu that's, like, for a beginner? If you're trying to, like, I want to find out if I like sushi. Could you recommend something for a beginner? And EO could recommend something for a beginner. And then she says, what is this? Is it guacamole? Try it. You'll see if you like it. And oh, I love guacamole. And she slathers the whole thing onto her piece of fish, whatever, and takes a bite. She's like, that's not guacamole. Well, I thought you might like it. You know what I mean? You could be a lighthearted thing about two people struggling to become friends without it being like this weird thing about squid legs flying through the air. You know what I mean? You could do this better than this, right? And then the Io Shirai and the waitress, after the meal is over, hug, right? And Io, like, hits, like throws the check, basically, at Zoe, saying, you're paying. And she walks off. And then she says to the waitress, who's Japanese, excuse me, do you know EO? Like, she hugs you, and then Zoe tries to get hugged and won't get hugged. EO won't hug her. So, do you know EO? Are you old friends? Like, no, we just met. Oh, okay. We just speak the same language, says the waitress in a very, very thick Japanese accent. Are you from Japan? Says Zoe. No, I'm from Kansas. And I follow a lot of people who are Americans who live in Japan. And they speak Japanese. And they don't sound like that. And they said that. They were like, speaking to somebody who's from Kansas who speaks Japanese, that woman is not from Kansas. Which is like, why do you have to lie about it? Why do you have to lie about it to make your stupid joke? It's a dumb thing to do. This whole thing doesn't do anything to make either of them look better. It makes them look worse. I feel like you wanted to make them look better and more entertaining, and it achieved the opposite. She wants to take some of her food with her, but then realizes, why am I taking this with me? I'm never going to eat it. So that was not great. Yeah. So, Mackenzie's backstage with Indy Hartwell. And says, who are you pulling for tonight? Well, on the one hand, you got family, and on the one hand, you got true love. So I'm not saying I'm pulling for Dexter, but if they would just give him a shot, they'd see he's not really a bad guy. He just misunderstood. We'll find if it's meant to be tonight. So there's that. I'm talking about tonight's main event. Next week, we get Saray versus Ember Moon, which will be nice to see both of them back in action. But anyway, Karrion Kross jumps on the table, says, Samoa Joe, you quit your job thinking you can control me? You can make a change around here? You can't control me. You were never in control. Who's provoking who, Joe? And then Joe runs down the ramp being dragged by, he's dragging all of his security dudes with him. And then Kross scampers backstage. Oh, I better get away from Joe. What does this do? How does that help him? But then Joe's in the ring going, Kross! And then he just chucks a bunch of security dudes over the top rope. And then one dude gets uranagi'd and then choked out. And I believe that's Rick Steiner's kid is what happened to him. Oh, man. It's very funny. Kross! And then he runs away. Well, I would too, honestly. If Samoa Joe ran into the room screaming my name, I would skedaddle. I'll tell you that much. Then they do a Prime Target video for the Dragunov versus Walter match. If you haven't seen the first one, do that right away. That's a great match. And this one promises to be maybe as good. It's a very good Prime Target video previewing that match. I think there are a lot of Americans who watch NXT who have never seen that first match. If they have Peacock, they should all go do that. But this also kind of introduces you to who these two guys are. I thought it was good. So, here's our lover her loser match. Let me get this. Ooh, hold on, what's that? Brandon Charles Powell says that look that EO shot Zoe when she mentioned Kyrie was kind of funny. Yeah. But did they ever explain why she doesn't like Zoe? What a weird storyline. No, they never explained why she doesn't like Zoe. The only thing it looks like is she doesn't like Zoe because Zoe's American. Which is weird. I don't know. I think Dexter Lumis can work, man. I think he's got a character with an absolute ceiling. That I don't know how far you can go with this guy. I think his character is incredibly interesting. But what's the ceiling on a character like that? Mid-card champion, maybe? Like, you can't really do anything serious with that character. I suppose he could be, like, the heavy or the muscle for a creepy champion. But, like, the creepy champion's got to be able to talk. And this match with Gargano is very good. Up until it's not. Because every time every time I think, well, you can't possibly overbook a match with this stipulation. Of course it's going to be wacky. So anything you do isn't going to be over the top. And it's not over the top. It's just shitty wrestling tropes. Like, Index gets involved. Like, she's there. Sorry, Indy gets involved when Dexter is inside the Gargano escape hold. And Indy gets over there by the ropes, and he drags himself over so he can caress her cheek before he grabs onto the bottom rope. And then Candice LeRae comes down and says, "What are you doing?" And Indy sits on the apron awkwardly to yell at her mom. And Gargano pushes Dexter into the ropes, which knocks Dexter Lumis into Indy and knocks her off the ramp, off the apron. And oh no, did Dexter do that on purpose? Or was it an accident? I don't know. Dexter's gonna get out of the ring and go check on Indy. It's like, ah, oh, Jesus, what is like this is like secondary only to the ref bump in the worst things that the people do with book matches. God, I hate when they do this stuff. Oh no, the valet at ringside was accidentally hurt. What was it, 1987? Is that Miss Elizabeth out there? What the hell are we doing? Haven't we moved beyond this? No, we haven't. We haven't. And anyway, Dexter, Johnny wins. He hits his one final beat on Dexter and pins him, 1, 2, 3. And I was like, oh, so we're really just ending this with, I think, so much comedy left to be mined here. I'm telling you, family outings with Dexter staring off into the middle distance or boring a hole into Indy's temples while he's looking at her. So I'm telling you, they go to Disney World and they go down Splash Mountain and they take the picture. Everyone's like, yay, except for Dexter, who's like this. I think that'd be hilarious. So I thought to myself, well, you can't have Dexter lose because that means he's got to be out of Johnny and Indy's life. But instead, they have Dexter lose. And Johnny and Candace are making her leave when she turns around and runs back into the ring and does a Luthez press onto him and peppers him with kisses all over his face. And they kiss and they kiss and they kiss. And True Love wins. But True Love lost. If you wanted to have Dexter and Indy get together, the stipulation was Dexter has to win. So having Dexter lose, but also having Dexter and Indy get together is a cheat. You set up the stipulation. I didn't do it. You got to play by your own rules, right? I think that's just my own personal point of view. So here you go. I have a did I miss it? I didn't miss it.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I did. There was a question that I think I have now missed. But I will answer this one. The intangible one, Cliff Beard says, can't wait for duet karaoke with Indy being the only one to sing and Dexter just staring. That'd be very funny. That'd be very funny. I'd like that a lot. There was a question that got sent through. That I had planned on finishing out the show with, and I lost it. So please send it back to me. It was one about where, what do I think the future holds for NXT? Is Joe going to win the match? If yes, then what? Okay, that was the question. I don't remember who sent it, so I want to give you credit. Okay, whoever that was, and. here's what I think the future is. I think if they can get through SummerSlam, I think they have an opportunity to do something interesting. Okay? Joe's going to beat Karrion Kross because Karrion Kross is going to the main roster where he's going to lose a lot until Scarlett tells him how to win. I think that's the story that Vince wants to tell, I guess. And then so Joe's the champion. And then what? Well, I don't know if Joe's the right guy long term, but Joe is a wonderful guy on the mic and can tell any story he wants. Karrion Kross, because Karrion Kross is going to the main roster where he's going to lose a lot until Scarlett tells him how to win. I think that's the story that Vince wants to tell, I guess. And then so Joe's the champion. And then what? Well, I don't know if Joe's the right guy long term, but Joe is a wonderful guy on the mic and can tell any story he wants. And he could turn heel and prove that he was never this guy. We all love him because we hate Kross, but actually Joe's always been a ruthless son of a bitch. So we could do that, or he could be a righteous baby face for a little bit until, I don't know, a faction of luchadors takes him down. I honestly don't know what they have planned. This Karrion Kross thing, losing it. Him losing those matches on Raw really screws everybody. It really does. Everybody in NXT. Because now, one of the main reasons I think Adam Cole should absolutely leave is because it's clear that Vince thinks of... to put it in NBA terms, Vince thinks of NXT as the D League, or was now the G League. It's a bunch of rookies and you know, people who used to play in Europe who don't matter to anybody. That's what he thinks. Because if he's going to bring up Karrion Kross, who's been so protected, who's a big dude, right? And have him booked this way on the main roster, then there's no hope for a guy like Adam Cole. No hope at all. He's going to be in the 24/7 division. So you have to get rid of the last tangible evidence of that. And the tangible evidence of it is Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross being absent from NXT for a few weeks and Joe being on the mountain, on top of the mountain, as the first ever three-time NXT champ, with when he can take on all comers. Who wants some, young fella? Let's go. Pete Dunne seems to be putting his like, I would, if Joe wins the title from Karrion Kross and Pete Dunne steps up and says, I want that belt, old man, I think that would be a lot of fun. Pete Dunne is absolutely the type of guy who deserves a run with the belt at some point in NXT. And he's absolutely a guy, I feel like after he becomes champion in NXT, he will have nothing else to do in NXT, and he should also leave. That sucks. NXT used to be the place for people who loved wrestling in WWE. When there was no AEW alternative, this was the only, this was the place. I mean, those nights, man, where NXT was on was 1 hour long. If you knew the spoilers, because you knew what was taped a few weeks ago, you had to tune in and see the match. It was so good. It was so good. And even when it went to 2 hours, it was still great on the network. And then being on USA killed it. Killed it. And now I don't know what to do with it. There's absolutely an opportunity for them to salvage this with Joe as champion. With Joe as champ, And I think that the mid-card is really strong. They have to promote some guys from the mid-card to the top. I mean, I don't know how you do this exactly, but it would be, I need Hit Row to be as over with the crowd as they are to everybody on Twitter. Like, everybody on Twitter, my whole timeline is full of people who are huge Hit Row fanatics like I am. Hit Row, the three of them, versus Samoa Joe is a really interesting prospect. I just don't know where you go. Like, you got to have a lot of people in the undercard getting put up back. And there's also certain things, like, here's some things that we haven't seen before. We've never seen Tommaso Ciampa versus Samoa Joe, as far as I know. If we did, it was before Tommaso Ciampa was Tommaso Ciampa. So you could absolutely sell me a ticket of Tommaso Ciampa wanting to get back that title he never lost from the only dude who's held that title three times. That is a takeover program that I would love to see. There are things they can do, man. There are things they can do with NXT. I just don't have any faith in them to be able to do it. With Vince coming down and raiding people, pulling them to the main roster where he's going to do fuck all with them. Pardon my French. And where, even if people are still on NXT and they went up on the main roster doing some stuff, he's going to screw them over. And he's never going to consider it to be a third brand or whatever. Remember that Survivor Series where NXT won everything? I was like, holy shit. They're really making NXT look important. I can't wait to see what they... Remember when Keith Lee had that final duel with Roman Reigns in the Survivor Series elimination match? They were primed to be something so special, and I don't know what happened. I mean, I think Vince started putting his grubby little paws in everything and ruining everything, but... William Buhner says that we apparently need to adapt to Vince's way of booking versus the way we want or think it should be. No, I refuse. I refuse to start to just roll over and take it. Vince's way of booking is bad. It's bad. It's always been bad, but it's horrible now. And I refuse to just accept it because there is so much more they can do. Man, if I couldn't fantasy book shit like Tommaso Ciampa versus Samoa Joe and the promos they would cut and the video packages they would air, if I can't fantasy book that, then I have no reason to watch NXT. And that sucks. But it's the truth. Nerd Guru says Vince doesn't see AEW's competition, yet is very clearly punishing the talent that were just put against them and lost. In the words of Brian Danielson, fickle. 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 Yeah. Samoa Joe versus Timothy Thatcher would be amazing too. That certainly is part of that would be definitely part of the program involving Tommaso Ciampa. Timothy Thatcher gets a match too. Maybe they do it in the fight pit. Samoa Joe versus Tommaso Ciampa in the fight pit. If I can't fantasy book that, I got nothing left. You guys don't understand what it meant to me to have Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.com tell me you get to host the NXT show and you get to do it your way. I loved NXT, man. It was the, a few years ago, if you told me you only get to watch one kind of wrestling, one program for the rest of your life, I was like, NXT, that's it. I'm done. I'll watch that. Because it was so good. And it's not. anymore. And that is really depressing. But I have to believe, that it can be again. Otherwise, why even continue to put it on the air? Last night's episode of Raw was just there, guys. It was just there. It was just a show. It was an episode of wrestling television. Nothing mattered. Nothing happened. Nothing changed. Who cares? NXT's got to be better than that. It is still, for now. But the perception of it has to take a drastic upturn for it to anywhere near resemble what it used to be. And I think, I have to believe, the crowning of Samoa Joe is the beginning of that resurgence. And on that optimistic note, I guess I will leave you. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on the post-NXT Fightful show. I've been your host, Alex Pawlowski. Follow me on Twitter, at AlexSourGraps. I already recorded the Raw review earlier today. That's up on Fightful Select. Go to FightfulSelect.com. That is absolutely the best way to support all of us here at Fightful. Thank you so much. I will see you all in the coming days. Tomorrow night tomorrow night for AEW, man. It is a fun time over there. As depressing as NXT appears to be, it ain't depressing on AEW, except for, you know, Max Caster lyrics. That's depressing. Anyway, other than that, see you all tomorrow.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now. Save big money.